Penguin Random House Audio presents The Sense of Style, The Thinking Person's Guide to Writing in the 21st Century by Steven Pinker. Read for you by Arthur Morey. Publisher's note, the author references images and charts throughout this program, which can be viewed by opening the accompanying digital PDF file. Prologue. I love style manuals. Ever since I was assigned Strunk and White's The Elements of Style in an introductory psychology course, the writing guide has been among my favorite literary genres. It's not just that I welcome advice on the lifelong challenge of perfecting the craft of writing, it's also that credible guidance on writing must itself be well written. And the best of the manuals are paragons of their own advice. William Strunk's Course Notes on Writing, which his student E.B. White turned into their famous little book, was studded with gems of self-exemplification, such as write with nouns and verbs, put the emphatic words of a sentence at the end, and best of all, his prime directive, omit needless words. Many eminent stylists have applied their gifts to explaining the art, including Kingsley Amis, Jacques Barzin, Ambrose Bierce, Bill Bryson, Robert Graves, Tracy Kidder, Stephen King, Elmore Leonard, F.L. Lucas, George Orwell, William Sapphire, and, of course, White himself, the beloved author of Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little. Here is the great essayist reminiscing about his teacher. In the days when I was sitting in his class, he omitted so many needless words, and omitted them so forcibly, and with such eagerness and obvious relish, that he often seemed in the position of having shortchanged himself. A man left with nothing more to say, yet with time to fill. A radio prophet who had outdistanced the clock. Will Strunk got out of this predicament by a simple trick. He uttered every sentence three times. When he delivered his oration on brevity to the class, he leaned forward over his desk, grasped his coat lapels in his hands, and, in a husky, conspiratorial voice, said, "Rule 17. Omit needless words. Omit needless words. Omit needless words." I like to read style manuals for another reason, the one that sends botanists to the garden and chemists to the kitchen. It's a practical application of our science. I am a psycholinguist and a cognitive scientist, and what is style, after all, but the effective use of words to engage the human mind? It's all the more captivating to someone who seeks to explain these fields to a wide readership. I think about how language works so that I can best explain how language works. But my professional acquaintance with language has led me to read the traditional manuals with a growing sense of unease. Strunk and White, for all their intuitive feel for style, had a tenuous grasp of grammar. They misdefined terms such as phrase, participle, and relative clause, and in steering their readers away from passive verbs and toward active transitive ones, they botched their examples of both. "There were a great number of dead leaves lying on the ground," for instance, is not in the passive voice, nor does "the cock's crow came with dawn" contain a transitive verb. Lacking the tools to analyze language, they often struggled when turning their intuitions into advice, vainly appealing to the writer's ear. And they did not seem to realize that some of the advice contradicted itself. Many a tame sentence can be made lively and emphatic by substituting a transitive in the active voice, uses the passive voice to warn against the passive voice. George Orwell, in his vaunted Politics in the English Language, fell into the same trap when, without irony, he derided prose in which the passive voice is wherever possible used in preference to the active. Self-contradiction aside, we now know that telling writers to avoid the passive is bad advice. Linguistic research has shown that the passive construction has a number of indispensable...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?